Scared of you, just
they
like
are.
They're scared of Trump.
Oh,
they are scared.
And they will
of
stop
you.
At nothing, but we're not going to let them get away with it. I've got fresh legs. I'm not wounded. And
that's
they're not
going
to let this man do it.
You know, when you
this
said eliminate,
gonna...
that gave me a chill. Because I'm scared.
Because you think it's false or because you think it's true?
I think it's true. I think they will stop at
it
nothing
is...
to stop them. Stop Trump.
It's sad, but it's the truth. It's the sad, but it's the truth. So I'm asking you to do your part, and we're going to...
You know, when
we can do this.
Polls,
we can do this.
Polls, yeah. They say, how do you feel about the United States? And I say, I'm worried and I'm fearful.
My job that you don't have to feel that way in this country.
But we're losing it.
We're
losing it.
It pains me to hear that.
We need people like you. Young,
we're
vibrant.
Do this. And that's where our founding fathers were.
Yes.
It's 1776 moment, so I want your support at that Iowa caucus.
I get emotional.
I'm emotional about this country. I need your support on Monday night. You do this, I'm going to do my part.
Okay, you're picking at my shell. You are.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've got commitments.
It's about this country. It's about this country. You want to save Trump, you vote for me. I'm telling you that. You vote for Trump. You're sending
him. He's a sledgehammer.
No, but you're sending him to his own demise. You're falling into the trap that not only a country's falling in, that he's falling. You want to save Trump, you vote for me. I need your support at the Iowa caucus.
That's a good argument. That's a good argument.
It's not an argument. It's the truth. Do the right thing for him and for this country. That's what I'm asking.
So that apparently got him in a lot of trouble. And because he was like, what is it? A vote for Trump is like a vote for your demise. Is that how he said it there?
Yeah.
So that got him in a lot of trouble. And that is, yeah, because now they're not best friends anymore. Now they're not best friends. I know. Welcome to the program. I'm trying to figure out how to start this because today's Iowa caucus day. Caucus is a lot different from the primaries because primary, you know, it's an all day voting thing. Everybody goes out and they vote and they go out and they vote, and caucuses are when the party comes together and they figure out who they're going to back at that point. And so that's how this whole process goes. That's how the whole process goes. So welcome. We're going to get into all of this. I'm looking at a lot of data today. Dana Lash here with you. And make sure that you listen because it's going to be a packed, crazy, busy couple of days. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, and you can also watch the video component of the radio program as well. So, yeah, I saw that yesterday. So just to let you know, in case you missed it, the whole, I don't know, they didn't have a friendship. It wasn't like it was a friendship. It was this relationship. I've always maintained that I always thought Vivek was a stalking horse for Trump. And I still maintain that. But I also think that sometimes you can get high on your own farts and you can actually believe, you know, I don't dislike him personally. I just don't prefer him as president. Talking about Vivek Ramaswamy. And so I guess that video came out and it made Trump's people mad. And so he turned out and started tweeting mad crazy or going on his platform and started going off on Ramaswamy. He said he tweeted, quote, or posted, quote, Vivek started his campaign as a great supporter, the best president in generations, etc. Unfortunately, now all he does is disguise his support in the form of deceitful campaign tricks. Very sly, but a vote for Vivek is a vote for the other side. Don't get duped by this. He says, vote for Trump. Don't waste your vote. Vivek is not MAGA. Wow. Okay. So he's not MAGA. What is he then? Because it seems pretty, I mean, and he was asked about this. Vivek was asked about this, and his response was that he wasn't going to get into the back and forth of it, and he wasn't going to criticize. He's like, he goes, I've defended him at every step. He was defending himself on X yesterday, and he said that, he goes, this is the plot. He goes, they're trying to narrow this to a two-horse. Oh, well, that's the primary. That's the whole point of the primary. That's the kind of the goal is you like you whittle it down to like one candidate. That's like sort of the whole point of it. But I think that I don't know. I just Trump snipped the strings there. So that's it. So he says he's not MAGA. I don't even know. I don't know. I guess you can be inducted into it. I don't know. I get really, my bristles raise whenever I hear people like bounce other people from movements, because I'm like, we don't have bouncers. Like, we don't have, you know, I mean, good grief. So there's that bust up. I don't know how that's going to impact him, though, in Iowa, because I kind of feel like his support, I don't think that Vivek is going to have a strong showing in Iowa, but I think he is, I think he might overperform some of what is being pulled. But again, you know, as we've talked about on the show, the polling is so weird. It's just, it's so incredibly weird, because a lot of these polls, you have to realize that a lot of this is really the pollsters, as we've talked about, and the whole polling is really like, it's a whole thing. It's like a grift. I really do think that, because it's very old school. The whole process of taking a survey, you go and you talk to thousands of people and you cast a very wide net, and not everybody has landlines, and not everybody is even, it is one of the most unscientific ways to measure voter sentiment, which is why so much of it's incorrect. And I really do believe that there is an effort to try to mislead you, even by the left, and I think from operatives on the right who are trying to just win, to try to shape public opinion how they would like it using polls. That's why I like really, I mean, the AI data driven stuff that we talked about last week is so interesting to me. So this is the, I don't know how, like, going back to Vivek, I don't know how this is going to affect him. I really don't. This is a lot of, and in Iowa, you know, you can essentially register the day of when you show up to, you know, to caucus. And so I don't know. It's, I don't know, 2016 was kind of odd. All the polls were wrong. All the polls were wrong in 2020. They were also wrong in 2018. They were also wrong in 2022. Let's see if they're going to be also wrong, you know, now in 2024. But the Iowa caucus, though, is not everybody wins. Who wins goes on to become president, which we're going to talk about. But it, I don't know. I think a lot of, I think with, for Ramaswamy, he would have to come in number three, I even think, to even try to venture to New Hampshire. I think this tonight's going to be the tail of the tape for a lot of these candidates, for a couple of these candidates for sure. So, you know, we'll see. I think some of the ones, I was watching some pollster on Fox today, and it was really weird for me to watch this pollster on Fox, because I know for a fact that this pollster had been hired by a campaign previously to do surveys for the campaign, like hard push polls. And I just thought that it was really weird that it wasn't disclosed on the program while they were trying to talk to them as though they were some like biased, you know, objective pollster. This is what I tell you. It is, you realize that very few of these things, these entities are independent entities. They can be bought and sold, and they can, their methodology can be very questionable. It's all about developing a narrative. So then they can say, well, a poll was taken. This survey was taken, and a poll is the be all end all. And that's kind of, that's the whole, how they run it. So it's I just thought it was disingenuous to see that to see that earlier today. But it's cold in Iowa right now. Everyone's wondering if the cold snap is going to discourage voters from coming out. I don't necessarily think that it will. It's Iowa. I mean, it's not like, you know, these people are not used to snow. They're kind of used to snow. They're used to all of this stuff. But it does all come down to who has the most energized campaign. And this is where electioneering and making sure that you put this infrastructure in on the ground. I mean, that's, you know, that's where it comes into. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting indeed. So we're going to get into all of that. One of the other things that we noted, and I broke this exclusively, although I've seen this reposted elsewhere without proper attribution, which is really lame to see. But I had this exclusive yesterday. This was actually sent by someone, like someone in my market. In Iowa, where they had a lot of these candidates were canceling their listening events or their meeting with their caucus goers. And one of those was Nikki Haley. And so she decided she was doing a virtual event, which is, you know, it's fine if you're, you know, whatever. She was doing a virtual event, and she was asked, it was the last question of this thing. And she was asked by a voter named John, whether a man could become a woman. And I want you to listen to this exchange, because this is the kind of stuff that gives me and a lot of people pause. Listen to this exchange. This is fascinating.
Hi, John.
A lot of the stuff that Trump does
you know, and says really bothers me, and I'm concerned about it. You know, one thing I saw him do was he said that, you know, he had trouble answering the question, could a man become a woman? And I'm just wondering what your response to that question is.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, let's look at the fact. Again, I'm sorry that we didn't make it to Dubuque, and I hate that we're not there, but I appreciate you coming on here. Look, I mean, I have said, I want to start with Trump and then get to the question. You know, this is a hard truth on my part. I believe Trump was the right president at the right time. I agree with a lot of his policies. But rightly or wrongly, chaos follows him. And everybody on this call knows that. And we can't be a country in disarray and a world on fire and go through four more years of chaos. We won't survive it. And I think a lot of that is how he communicates and what happens. It just sets us all in disarray. And we can't afford a President Kamala Harris. Now, can a man become a woman? There's been a lot that's been talked about when it comes to all of these roles and all of these issues. I strongly believe that we should not allow any gender change surgeries to anyone before the age of 18, period. Kids now can't get a tattoo until they're 18. We shouldn't have them permanently change their body until they're 18. And that includes puberty blockers. That includes any sort of hormones that would do that. After the age of 18, we want to make sure people can live any way they want to live. I don't think government needs to be in control of anybody's life. You go live the way you want to live. You should be free to live the way you want to live. And government and everybody else should stay out of your way. But prior to 18, it is an important time, especially when you're going through your teenage years that can be confusing. I don't think we should ever in any way have any sort of permanent changes. But after 18, I'm not going to say anything. I think that, you know, you always have to believe in freedom and allowing people to live the life the way they want to live. And if that's how they choose, then, you know, I don't think government should have any say in that.
So I had this exclusively yesterday. You might see it unattributed elsewhere, but I had this audio yesterday. And here's the thing. She's never answered the question as to whether or not she actually believes a man can become a woman. She never actually answered that question. She endorsed gender surgeries for minors once they hit 18, if they so choose. But here's the other thing, too. This is like a 1 foot in, 1 foot out attempt to triangulate this issue for her. Because she's like, well, I don't want to have the government to have a say in it. Newsflash to Nikki Haley, you need to wake up because the government has already had a say in it. People are literally losing their jobs. Women are losing opportunities. There are new regulations in schools. My gosh, they're also trying to fight. They're fighting right now to include it in the American with Disabilities Act. The Americans with Disabilities Act. There's literally a lawsuit ongoing right now. Women's sports is being colonized. This is the weak dodge that has allowed the government to do this. So the government has already had its say, Nikki Haley. They've already had their say. And additionally, you know, so the magic number is 18. That satisfies what the legal status. But if a minor has bulimia and anorexia, is it more or less an acceptable condition based upon whether the bulimic or anorexic is 18 years old? Body dysmorphia is body dysmorphia. We realize this, right? I mean, so does she think that parents who would sanction medically unnecessary experimental surgery for minors are going to be dissuaded from that because, you know, because of the age 18? I mean, teenage brains don't even reach maturity until 25 years old. They think with the more emotional part of their brain, while adults think with their prefrontal cortex. I mean, age is just a number here. And it's also a veneer that Haley's hiding behind to dodge the issue. That's lame. I wonder how Iowans will respond to that.
You know, when you search for something on Netflix, what you get is only a fraction of what Netflix actually has. Netflix actually has more than something like 18,000 titles globally, but only 6,000 of those are available in the United States. So you're missing out on literally thousands of movies or television shows, anything episodic, unless you use ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is an app that lets you change your online location so you can control where you want Netflix to think that you're located. They have over 100 different locations, so you can gain gain access to thousands of new programs, no matter where you live. Now, this works with a lot of other streaming services too, like Max, BBC iPlayer, Hulu, things like that. So this is something that you should definitely consider. I mean, think about what would you like to watch that maybe you can't access. I mean, there's some British shows that I would like to watch. There's, you know, some anime, there's some movies, all kinds of stuff. And also, I want to kind of hide where I am too, just because I'm always internally suspicious. So this is what ExpressVPN can come in clutch for. Also, it's super fast. I can stream everything in HD with no buffering. Works on any device. I can enjoy whatever I'm watching from my phone, laptop, tablet, TV, you name it. It just works. And ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security to keep you safe from hackers that want to take your info and sell it on the dark web. So stop missing out on great programming and get thousands of new shows with ExpressVPN. And we got them to give you guys an extra 3 months free when you use our special link, expressvpn.com/Dana. That's ExpressVPN.com/Dana to get 3 extra months completely free.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Chiefs and Dolphins played the fourth coldest game in NFL history at -4 degrees. I don't love anything that much to go and watch it in that kind of cold. Like, nothing. I don't love anything that much to go and watch it in the cold. Yeah, they said it was the fourth coldest game. -4 degrees. People were in ski gear. That's dedication. That's crazy. The coldest game in the league history, there still remains at -13 for the 1967 NFL Championship, where Packers beat Cowboys at Lambeau. Wow. I don't even want to talk about those numbers. Like I shared online, when the weather gets younger than me, I don't go outside. It's just the rule. By the way, weather delays the Bills and Steelers game, the New York governor announced. So weren't the Buffalo Bills asking people to come and shovel snow out of the stadium? Are they still doing it? They were offering $20 an hour to go and shovel snow out of their stadium. So the playoff has been postponed. It's supposed to be this afternoon. They got heavy snow, high winds. Yeah, so they are actually, I saw it on X, so I was wondering about that. Winter storm in the United States leaves many without power. It felt -1 degrees in Texas last night. It was 7 degrees. It is approximately 18 degrees now in Texas. Just saying. So a lot of people have been left without power as a result of those storms. Flights have been delayed. I don't know how many flights have been delayed. A lot of the people that were going to see the football games, they said a lot of people are now either on delayed flights. They've had their flights canceled. It's just mass hysteria. I just don't like going anywhere this time of year because you can't really count on it. All right, so coming up, all the latest with Iowa. We also have some cultural issues. You know, like the Fannie Willis, it's, she says that all of attacks on her are racist. Not that she acted with impropriety, just like that you notice is racist. Stay with us. For our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Nimi Skincare. You know, the one time when people don't get upset over mansplaining is when all these skincare companies started using dudes to try to sell women's skincare products and then try to act like it was one and the same, and women should just stop complaining about it because, you know, they know what's best. Women have different needs from dudes, and women even have different needs from other women, depending on what stage they are in their lives. Nimi Skincare understands that, and any skincare company should. This is why they were created. And so with Nimi Skincare, first off, this is a company that uses USA ingredients, made in the USA ingredients. They're made in the USA. No parabens, none of those horrible, ridiculous, harsh, artificial synthetic chemicals. And they don't test on animals either. But they are all about making sure that you have what you need to have healthy skin. So they have introduced two new routines, their Wake Up Right routine, where you can give your skin a morning boost of vitamin C and peptides. And then they have their bedtime moisturizing routine. This is great, especially when it's going to be like 7 degrees here in Texas, for example, because it's ultra hydrating. It's going to replenish your skin, keep you moisturized while you sleep, and it's packed with soothing, restorative ingredients. And your skin will thank you for this. And like I said, they share your values, but they also understand and celebrate that women are different and women need different things. Nimi Skincare products are 100% guaranteed. So take the guesswork out of your routine with Nimi Skincare. Visit NimiSkincare.com. That's NIMI Skincare.com, and use promo code Dana for 10% off. Your skin will thank you.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
We have to stop the cheating. The biggest risk we have is the cheating of the elections. Because if it's up to the votes, we have so many votes, we don't even have to be here today. We're on the campaign.
Well, I think you might need to just, you know, do it. And just so you don't have to worry about not doing it. So that was Trump. He just got to Iowa yesterday. And I don't even want to look at the temperature. It looks cold there. You don't even know. You know what the temperature is? Cold. That's all you need to know. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. Yeah, I think you kind of might want to be there. I'm wondering if he and Vivek are going to be able to patch things up after Trump announced that he is not MAGA. Right. He says Vivek isn't MAGA, and he went off on him. So now what? Like, I criticized Vivek Ramaswamy because I said he was a farmer bro, which he is. So now am I in the right? I'm just wondering, you know, am I in the right to have said that? Because now he's not MAGA. So, you know, it's been officially declared. Just got a question. I got a lot of questions about that. So, you know, we'll see what happens in Iowa. Doesn't everything kick off? I think it's 7 Central tonight. So you're not going to get results till this evening. And then tomorrow we're going to go over all of it. But we will see. Candidates started their whole, they had the whole kicking off everything down to the caucus wire just last week. I want to go back very briefly, though, to the call that I played. And we got that from an Iowan with the Nikki Haley story, because I played this audio of her because she was asked whether or not a man could become a woman. And I don't know why. Like, Trump was asked this question as well on another podcast. But he was asked this question as well. Our show obtained the audio of that. And he was saying that, I don't really know if I want to play everything, but he was saying that, you know, with in answering that question, he goes, well, he says, in my opinion, you have a man, you have a woman. And I think part of it is birth. Can the man give birth? No. Although I'm sure they'll come up with some answer to that someday. And he goes, I just heard the other day that they have a way that now the man can give birth. I would say, no, I'll continue my stance on that. Okay. I don't know why that's such a hard question for anybody to answer. Can a man become a woman? Like, who are you offending? Who are you worried about offending? If on that question, no, a man cannot become a woman. Are you high? That's what I would have probably said. Thankfully, I never want to run for office, but maybe this is another reason why I shouldn't. Is that really a game to be played, though? Do you really have to? And Haley was just, she didn't even answer the question. She went into, well, after 18, I'm not going to say anything. As long as you get to the magic answer of 18. Now, as I pointed out, that might be fine for her. But she says the government needs to just, you know, not have a say. Well, the government already had its say. Let me share this story with you. The Supreme Court, and this is just a piece into this run. This was, I want to make sure, this was just last summer. The Supreme Court allowed to stand a ruling. They're looking at gender dysphoria. They're going to put that, the trans issues, they let stand this ruling to incorporate it under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now, that opens up a lot of other things other than just that classification. You're also looking at public funding. That's one of the things that opens up is public funding. People are losing their jobs over this. I mean, there are lawsuits right and left. For instance, there was one. This was just last month. A Virginia court is dealing with a lawsuit from a teacher who was fired because they would not use a transgender student's preferred pronouns. And so because the teacher did not adopt that student's false perception of self, that teacher was fired. I mean, people are losing their livelihoods. They're losing opportunities. I mean, there was, for instance, New York Post, a track star. She calls herself Chelsea Mitchell, the fastest girl in Connecticut. She started losing race after race to trans athletes, men LARPing as women and going into track and field. And she lost 20 races to 20 men. I'm not kidding you. This is in Connecticut. That's how many are doing this. And she teamed up with other female athletes in Connecticut. And they're fighting with the Connecticut Association of Schools and the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference. Because they allow men to compete as women. So I don't know what Nikki Haley thinks here, because the government has already stepped in. This thing, well, 18, that's just a dodge. That's just a weak distraction. Because all of the government already had its say. If they're forcing you to adopt someone else's false perception of self, if you do not affirm someone else's self-perception, then you could lose your job. You could lose opportunities. And not just you, but your kids. This is where this is. And the idea that somehow body dysmorphia is body dysmorphia, the idea that this is somehow safer or healthier than like bulimia or anorexia is weird to me. It's all a form of body dysmorphia. I mean, when you're cutting off, when you're slicing off your male copulatory organ and inverting it into an artificial female copulatory organ and making it to where you literally have to be on medicine for the rest of your life, you're dealing with constant pain. I don't know if you've read some of the stories of the smaller number of people have gone through those surgeries. They deal with pain forever, and a lot of them end up regretting it. And it's one of the reasons why the suicide rate's so high. Instead of accommodating someone's body dysmorphia, maybe you should think about how to treat it. And I don't mean treat it by allowing people to mutilate themselves with surgical experimentation. It is so much more than just turning 18 here. That is asinine that this is her answer. And this isn't the first time that she's flubbed this either. I mean, so is it, if somebody has bulimia or anorexia, is it going to be okay once they hit 18? I mean, this is asinine. You see what it's happened, what it's doing to the military. Military is now dealing with this issue. This is an issue that far reaches this whole, well, I just don't what the government have to say. Woman, the government has got its say already. She just doesn't want to give a decisive answer because she doesn't want to make her liberal supporters mad. If you're going to be milquetoast or lukewarm, then I don't understand why you think that you deserve to have a position that requires giving decisive answers, especially on something so basic and so scientific. This is just, it's asinine to me. Well, I just don't want the government to have a say in that. Excuse me? Wait, suddenly you're limited government now? But you're fine sending all these people to go and fight in foreign wars and foreign land disputes. But oh my gosh, all of a sudden, I'm just very much realizing that I don't want a government to have a say in people's lives right here with this issue. Really? It's just such a dodge. It's cowardice. Stop being a coward. Just answer the damn question. You realize why so many people just kind of, you know how you watch, ever been to a little kid's soccer game and they all follow the ball like a swarm of bees? I feel like that's what we're seeing in a lot of politics right now, because people don't, there isn't any real decisive leadership. I mean, when you are flubbing, even saying, yeah, no, a man can't become a woman, don't act like you're tough or a fighter. If you can't answer that basic A double snakes question, don't act like you're a fighter. Good grief. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Do what you want with that. But I'm just, it just shocks me. I don't know. Is that the new Republican Party? I don't know. And normally, it wouldn't be that the primary season would seem like it's already wrapping up, doesn't it? It's got started so early. It's so weird. So a couple of other things that I want to touch too. This whole situation with immigration. You know, we had Governor Greg Abbott on the show last week. And I asked him, you know, point blank, I said, so, Governor, what are you allowed to do up to the limitations of the law? I want to know what you are allowed to do. And the reason I asked him that is because it has changed, and certain things that governors were allowed to do, there have been lawsuits filed, and so they're barred from doing it for a certain period until an appeal is heard, et cetera, et cetera. And this all began kicking off, and I bring this up quite a bit because this is really when it exploded, was under Biden, was under Obama Biden with Jan Brewer, who's governor of Arizona. I mean, they were threatening to arrest her. So I was asking Governor Greg Abbott, you know, what can you do as governor up to the limit of the law? And one of the things, you know, he was saying, you know, we're doing everything. He's like, look, he goes, you know, you, and he was like giving like up to the, like, absolute limit. And he's like, well, you can't, you know, you can't shoot people who are trying to cross illegally because the administration would, you know, would charge you with murder. And he's saying this as like, you know, he's explaining to you, like, this is the absolute, almost absurdium level that you would go to. And the way that the media reported on this, they said, where's one of my headlines at? Greg Abbott laments that he can't shoot illegal immigrants, or he can't shoot migrants at the border. This is the first time they ever used that big word. Can you believe that? That's what they said. I'm gonna look at, let me read some of these headlines. It's crazy. All right, so here's the, it says, shooting migrants would be murder. What about letting them drown? Because Border Patrol already said that never happened. You had Eric Swalwell, who went out and he made up this story about, let me pull up his tweet. Or sorry, Adam Schiff. They're all the same. They're all the same schmuck. He says, Schiff tweeted, deliberately stopping Border Patrol from rescuing a mother and her two kids, resulting in preventable and senseless deaths, et cetera, et cetera. So they were blaming Abbott and Border Patrol. They said that they allowed a woman to drown in the Rio Grande. And that never happened. It literally, they acted like Border Patrol were there and ignored it. And Border Patrol, via Bill Malugin, said no, it was the Texas Military Department. They're aware of the social media posts concerning the drownings, and they're referencing. And it was Cuellar, too. Henry Cuellar also made this false claim. They said that Texas soldiers blocked Border Patrol from rescuing people at Shelby Park in Eagle Pass. And they said that the Texas Military Department observed a group of Mexican authorities responding to an incident on the Mexico side of the bank. They reported those observations to Border Patrol and confirmed, Border Patrol independently confirmed, that the Mexican authorities required no additional assistance. So somewhere from that, Henry Cuellar and Adam Schiff start saying that Border Patrol allowed a woman and children to die in the river, when they were actually working with Mexican authorities on the Mexico side of the... Are Schiff and Cuellar arguing that our Border Patrol should cross over into Mexico illegally and usurp control from the Mexican authorities? That's literally what he's talking about. And they said at no point was the Texas Military Department or even Border Patrol made aware of the bodies in any park. I mean, this is asinine. So this is what they were putting out there. So now the media is just, whoa, they're trying to marry that together. They said, oh, Greg Abbott brags that he wants to shoot migrants at the border. This was nonstop. His rhetoric is criticized after interview response about shooting migrants. All this over. I asked him a very simple question. And there was nothing wrong with his answer. But the media, and then you had others going, oh, well, we saw it. There was another Democrat congressman that went out and said, well, remember when Border Patrol was whipping migrants at the border? Wasn't that already debunked with the horse reins? That was already debunked. These people will stop at nothing. They just don't want to close the border. I mean, Abbott said, Abbott's line was, quote, the only thing that we're not doing is we're not shooting people who come across the border because, of course, the Biden administration would charge us with murder. I mean, what is wrong with his statement? Kane, does it sound like he said what the media is claiming that he said?
No, not at all. It's like me saying if, you know, someone came into my house uninvited and I shot them, the police might charge me with murder. That's what? Mm. I mean, what's he saying that isn't factual?
Yeah. Yeah, it's NBC. The way that they're presenting it is that he's just stopping short of ordering Border Patrol to shoot people. That's how they're. Oh, and it's not just NBC, guys. ABC7, KWTX, Mother Jones, Detroit News, Arkansas Democrat Gazette, everywhere. Now it's also in Mexican media, Austin American Statesman. It is everywhere. It's a narrative lie that they're trying to promote as truth. We have a lot more on the way as we get moving. Our partners for this portion of our program, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. And they want to make sure that you have coverage. They offer nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're going to get the best service. You're also not going to fund the things you vote against. And when you switch You're, like I said, you're going to save money, and you're also going to support 100% U.S.-based jobs, because that's who all of their customer service team is. Right now, you can get free activation using code Dana. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana. Get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Today, we celebrate the legacy of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a visionary who saw what could be, unburdened by what had been.
Why is she talking behind a big giant wall of like sneeze guard? No, like that's that, like the in front of her, though, was a giant plastic sneeze guard.
Probably a windbreaker.
I got questions. Welcome back to the program. That was new. That's not old. That's not old audio. That's new.
10 minutes ago.
10 minutes ago, Kane says. Why is she still saying this? Why? Is she trolling us? We're getting trolled. We're getting trolled. That's what this has to be. I don't know how else you would, I don't know how she would describe it. I really don't. She's a heartbeat away, man. Heartbeat away. 2024, guys, is very important. Notice you didn't hear really anything about a whole heck of a lot from Biden over the weekend. Or Hunter, baby Hunter, after his stunt last week. He just, you want to know something? I'm not going to say who it was. But one of the things that I noticed, so there was a photo after he went to D.C. and he pulled his stunt. He was at the airport, right? He was at Reagan International. And he had a Secret Service agent with him. One of the Secret Service agents that was photographed being with him is the one that I met at SHOT Show last year, who came and introduced himself and got a signed copy of Hands Off My Gun. He's very cool. It was him. I told you how I met. He had, because you have to put the organization that you're with, and he was with Secret Service. But he's part of the detail at Malibu. I was just gonna say, I'm not gonna out the guy, but I just thought that was interesting. Can you imagine having to? I mean, they're professionals. That's their job. They protect, you know, the president's family, no matter how cracktastic they may be. But can you just imagine? I mean, that's some devotion to duty. We got a lot more. Second hour coming up. Don't go anywhere. More of the Dana Show back after this. Our partners over at Hillsdale College. Hillsdale doesn't care about identity politics because they're too busy actually educating people. I mean, it's an actual one of the last educational institutions, really, that's there. We have a crisis in American education that's developed into a national crisis. And when people don't properly learn about America's heritage, that's a problem. And this is what Hillsdale College aims to fix. Right now, they're giving away their pocket constitutions, which you can get at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. But they're anti-rejecting the principles of liberty. And they think that because surveys have shown Americans between 18 and ages 18 and 30 are most likely to reject patriotism, they've really been targeting that for education on American liberty and, you know, principles and rights, etc. So Hillsdale, if you're unfamiliar, it's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, founded in 1844, all about the pursuit of truth and defense of liberty. And they want to educate everybody. It's all about merit and character. Nothing else matters. You can reserve your free pocket constitution, your copy of the pocket constitution, at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. And you can also hear Constitution Minute shorts, which are clear lessons on the principles of liberty. To hear the Constitution Minute, visit Dana4FORHillsdale.com and get that free free copy of the Constitution courtesy of Hillsdale College. It's Dana4FORHillsdaleCollege.com.
And, you know, Donald Trump was at it today in his speech attacking Governor Reynolds and basically a lot of nonsense. But I think that that's something that shows a difference in this race. Donald Trump's running for his issues. It's really been about him. And the fact that he would attack Governor Reynolds, not because she's done anything wrong. No, she, to the contrary, she's done a great job. But he's just attacking her because she's supporting me. That's the only reason. That's not leadership. Leadership is about focusing on the mission. Leadership's about focusing on your issues and your family's issues and putting yourself out there and even being willing to take the bullets and to take the arrows and to sacrifice your own political standing in order to do what's right for the people that you represent.
I thought that was a good soundbite. Oh, it's heating up in Iowa. Got Vivek brawling with Trump and Haley brawling with everybody and Trump brawling with the weather and Vivek and I don't know. And now this. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. We got a whole bunch of stuff to hit this hour, including some foreign policy, some culture stuff as well. You don't want to miss. But this with Governor DeSantis, he's upset. He got upset. Well, he's taking criticism. He's leveling criticism at Trump. Because Trump was going at Kim Reynolds, the governor of Iowa, yesterday is when it was. He was on his platform. And I will say, I understand competition, and competition's fine, and I have zero problem with it. But I just think it's fruity to attack legitimately good elected officials that have solid records. That's like the opposite of America First. Like, you're attacking someone that you want more elected officials to be like. But somehow they're bad because they didn't endorse you. And I don't like that. I mean, you can say, oh, I wish they'd endorse me or I disagree with their choice. But to say that because they didn't pick you, that it somehow undermines their, I would say, more conservative record is silly. I mean, this isn't about one man. It's about the future of the country, post-lockdowns and vax mandates. I mean, this is it. That's not a joke. It is. Because if we don't win the White House, we will lose the House. It'll have a depressing effect all down ticket, as typically happens every election. And the Republicans still have no way to handle split ticket voting because I don't know who's higher, Hunter on crack or the RNC leadership right now. I really don't. I guess I won't be invited to any cocktail parties. What? Oh, tears. Anyway. But I don't get that. I don't get it. So we'll see how Iowa goes. Everything kicks off tonight, beginning 7 Central. It's super cold there. That's what you need to know. There's nothing happening right now. They're doing meet and greets. The caucusing has not begun. Primary and caucus, primary is like an all-day thing. Voters come out all across the state. The caucus is for the party people. And it's like an event. So it's it's a different thing, same results, basically. All right, so a few other things that I want to make sure that we are hitting. We were talking about some of the immigration stuff as well. Can we talk about this FAA diversity push, please, for the love? Because Kane and I are going to be flying coming up. And if you see me, if I sneeze or if, like, my eyes look dry, it's because it's 7, is it 7? No, it's a whole 19 degrees here in Texas right now. We drop like 30 degrees in a 24-hour period. So pray for us. We don't know what's happening. But Kane and I have got to get on a plane. We got SHOT Show coming up later on this month, and which, you know, we go to every year. And I just don't want the doors to fall off. Right. You know, I just like want some basic amenities.
I don't want a window to pop out.
Yeah, I want like windows and wings. Basic amenities on the plane. You know what I'm saying? I don't care about the genitals of the person in the cockpit. No pun intended. I just don't. I'm surprised they haven't gotten mad over that. Right. You ever have that moment where like 50 jokes simultaneously fire off in your head? Because that's where I'm at right now.
Mostly when we're not live on the air.
Oh my gosh. And none of them I can say. Not a one. Not a one. Not that one either. The one I just thought of. That I definitely can't say. I'd probably lose all of our affiliates in Pennsylvania if I said that one. Don't ask. Just don't. Don't do it. Don't ask, Kane, because I'm not going to tell you. So they say that the FAA has a diversity push that includes a focus on hiring people with severe intellectual and psychiatric disabilities. Now, it's one thing if you're hiring someone to like candle bags or I don't know, like, you know, in that regard. But I don't trust them to just, I don't trust the FAA to just do that because everybody has to try to prove a point. You know what I mean? Like if you don't have, the general sentiment right now seems to be that if you don't have a completely medically unqualified, you know, trans person doing your open heart surgery, then you hate trans people, to say nothing of the qualifications. You know what I mean? That just seems to be like the new litmus test in society. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, is there a guarantee that we're not talking about flying the planes? Is there a guarantee? Because I'm not seeing one. Yeah. Remember, Secretary Mayor Newmont, Poot Booty Juice, that is Joe Biden, President Joe Biden's pronunciation. And we all know that he is a God King on Earth, right? Secretary Mayor, former Rear Admiral of Canoe Fleet at Camp Wimbitonka, Poot Booty Juice, Department of Transportation. They said that this is something that they've been pushing through the FAA because Booty Juice oversees FAA. And this was, again, after a door in a 737 just blew right the hell off midair. So the FAA's website, the last time, at least on their website, it shows that the guidelines on diversity hiring were updated was on March 23rd of 2022, sorry, 2 years ago. And so it's part of their new diversity and inclusion hiring plan. And they claim, quote, diversity is integral to achieving FAA's mission of ensuring safe and efficient travel across our nation and beyond. It's very important to them about this stuff. I don't know. Just like it's important to people. Like, I'm sorry, are there women flying the plane? Because I just don't know. I don't care if they have flight experience. Is there just a woman in the cockpit? Like, I don't know. You know, planes are not like, you know, road trips. You don't have someone in charge of snacks. Well, that would be like the attendants. They're the snack people. And the music, they handle all the stuff that you think that you would handle. We don't need to run the cockpit like that. That's not, stop it. So I don't know. You could say that it's not DEI, but in everything that I've read about it, I don't really have any guarantees. Like, how do I know that the FAA is not going to push someone that has serious psychiatric disabilities to fly a plane? Because have you seen who was in charge of our nuclear waste? The luggage twink, the guy who stole all the ladies' clothes in the suitcases, that dude, right? I mean, have you seen, who's the other dude that's up there? Who's like in Health and Human Services. Like, he's like the deputy secretary of HHS. It's a dude that they want you to pretend is a woman. Like, yes, he is a dude. He's one of those who is such a dude and looks like such a dude. There's literally nothing you could do to him to make him look more like a woman. There's no amount of surgery you could do. Some people are just so dude that there's nothing that you can undude on them. Do you know what I mean? Like, you could do all this other stuff and you would see them and go, that jawline, that's a dude's jawline. That's a dude. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much there. You know who I'm talking about? The dude with the long blonde hair?
That'd be Rachel Levine.
Yeah, that dude. They want you to pretend that dude's real, Nikki Haley, who says the government should have no say. They want you to pretend that it's a man. They want you to pretend that that's a dude or a woman. I am all confused now. And I'm looking at it. Him. I'm looking at him, and I'm like, you are clearly a man.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
Bro, ma'am. But you look at Rachel Levine, him, and you look at it, I look at him, and you're like, okay, he's a dude. No, you got to call him by his preferred pronouns. You got the government promoting that stuff, Nikki Haley, who says the government should have a say, but they've already had a say. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about. You have the government right now that wants to put in the cockpits. It's more important for them whether or not they have a vagina than whether or not they can fly a plane. Nikki Haley, who says that the government shouldn't have a say, but clearly the government has had its say and a lot of other says since its first original say. Like, what in the world is this? So they say, well, you know, they're looking at people to employ for a range of positions, like administrative roles to oversight, all this other stuff. Guarantee me that I'm not going to have this person flying the plane.
I don't want them even checking me into the plane at all. I don't want them touching my luggage. I don't want them pointing where the bathrooms are when I ask. I don't want any of that from people like that.
When you can get in trouble for a 3.4-ounce bottle of liquid, I don't want somebody that I don't want someone that has serious psychiatric disabilities, like someone who could go off and be an axe murderer, because that's the other thing. It's also vague. Like, what is the gradient here? What's the scale from a level of like Ted Bundy to, you know, maybe, oh gosh, give me an example. Joe Biden. What are we looking at here? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we talking about? If somebody has OCD, okay. If somebody's whatever. But that's not, I feel like they're talking about more than that. You know what I mean? It's well, yes, this person was an axe murderer, but they've, you know, restorative justice and all. It's okay. I don't know. But if you don't go along with it.
But the wording is just so outrageous.
It's sketchy.
Severe intellectual and, quote, psychiatric disability.
Those are their words, not
That's
ours.
Their words.
Like, what do you mean severe? Like, not able to... are you able to not have assistance in life?
In one sentence, if I'm the company, we'll hire based on merit. Look at that. I didn't have to mention any problems, didn't have to mention anything else.
It's just racist bigotry now. I mean, who cares about merit if, you know, I mean, when, you know, you could have a non-phallus.
What?
You could have an unphallused individual.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, you can defallus someone, apparently.
That's a thing? Without a thing?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's other names for it.
All right. Time to break.
No, it's not. We still got a couple minutes. Oh. I can still run this right down. It's all right. I'm just saying. I mean, you got doors blown off airplanes. But this is what they're worried about. What about the pronouns? I mean, the door fell off. But the pronouns, though.
When the screws are looser on the staff. I'm not a fan.
Gosh.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it just makes me, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I would not want me to fly a plane. I wouldn't want me to fly. I'd see one bird. Have you seen? You know, you haven't. Never mind. I'll tell you a story real quick. One time, I was still in college, and I had a, don't laugh, I had a Geo Metro. If you don't know what a Geo Metro is, kids, it's a roller skate with a lawnmower engine. That's it. I had to basically punch my feet through the floor of it, Fred Flintstone style, and try to help sprint it up to the speed limit whenever I would get on I-270 in Missouri. It's horrific. Anyway, so I'm driving to go, I think I was going to class or somewhere. It was either work or class, I can't remember. And, you know, we lived kind of out in a rural area, and, you know, there's deer everywhere, and you're always looking for them. But I swear to you, there was a deer. They never could find it. I swear to you, hands to sky. And I was dumb. I was like, well, if I hit the thing, I thought all of this in like a split second, I'm going to die because roller skate with a lawnmower engine. I mean, the cars themselves, you could probably die looking at it. So I swerved and I went into a ditch, hatch up, right? Into a ditch. Like the back wheels of my car were not even on the ground. And I had a can of soda that like fell forward and got punctured. And all I heard was and I immediately thought what any rational person would think. And I thought, oh my gosh, this car is going to explode. So I MacGyver dived out of the side of it into a ditch. And I laid flat on my stomach because this is what I've seen them do in the movies. At the same time, one of my friends from high school drove by. And she was like, what the hell is wrong with you? I'm like, my car is going to blow up. Get away. I'm yelling this from the ditch. Like, get away. The car is going to explode. It was my can of soda that was punctured. This is why you don't want me flying a plane. And I don't even have any of these things that they're talking about with the FAA. The Sub 2K, if you are unfamiliar with it, you need to make yourself familiar because it is an awesome, awesome, awesome carbine. This is a folds in half gun. Sub 2K, it fills that pistol. I'm going to make up a word. It's what we're now calling the pistol caliber carbine. We're going to call it a pistol. It's a new thing. It fills this gap, the pistol caliber carbine gap. And you got options for several popular magazines like Glock, Smith & Wesson, Sig Sauer. It makes it a lot easier to take along because you're taking along a lot less. So from right now until March of 2024, Kel-Tec is offering a $100 rebate program on any newly purchased Sub 2K from a licensed dealer. So you buy a Sub 2K, you get $100. And so that goes from now until March of this year. You still have some time to take advantage of it. And the Sub 2K is awesome. You have ballistic advantage, distance accuracy, that 16-inch barrel, and it's easily disassembled for cleaning or inspection without tools, intuitive sights, adjustable stock, easy to field strip. It's a breeze to field strip. Learn more about the Sub 2K and that $100 rebate program at KeltecWeapons.com, KELTECweapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Man, this is why doing stuff the old-fashioned way, or just like, I don't know, maybe watching what you eat is worth it. because listen to this. Aren't these the weight loss shots that everybody's been talking about? This woman is going to suffer diarrhea forever. She was on the Ozempic, and it caused horror bowel injury and made her vomit until her teeth fell out. And she's going to have diarrhea forever. That's insane. That's the whole thing. And it's a, there's like a specific, apparently there's like a million kinds of it. There's a specific kind that she was on. But yeah, that's what she's going to have to deal with forever. I've been hearing like other weird stuff about this. It's Big Pharma. So a Spirit Airlines passenger was arrested for asking a flight attendant to join the Mile High Club, which apparently that's a federal, is that a federal offense? Was the guy flirting? That's kind of skeezy, though, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. Saudi Arabia has a vision. These are the people. Isn't it the Saudis, or is it somebody from like UAE that wanted to make the long wall city? Now they have a ultra luxury upside down skyscraper. It still feels like you're living in a basement, though. I was looking at like the renderings of it. It's a 1,500 foot mountain, accessed through an underground canal. Oh, I don't know. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not enough has been done. There's no doubt about that. And I think that the president needs to do more. The Congress needs to do more. Cities out here that are the target of this political game that Governor Abbott is playing are suffering. And here in Illinois, it's minus 29 degrees outside with the wind chill. We have migrants that arrive from Texas virtually every day, hundreds, and we don't have places to put them. We don't have enough shelter space here. There are plenty of other cities where, you know, if he's going to send people, they could be sent. But no, he's choosing only Democratic states, Democratic cities.
He's choosing sanctuary cities, you cow. Good grief. That's J.B. Pritzker. Bitching and moaning because heaven forbid he, after running on leading a sanctuary state, now he's mad because people took him up on it. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of the second hour. That's just ridiculous. It's not just Democrat, it's sanctuary. That all happened to be Democrat. Maybe you shouldn't have advertised that you were a sanctuary city if you didn't actually, you know, want to be a sanctuary for illegal immigrants. That's just a thought. You advertised it. They just wanted to make you honest by sending up people who crossed illegally to your sanctuary. That's what you wanted. You actually thought you were going to get to advertise as a sanctuary and not actually, you know, provide sanctuary? You can listen to our radio show coast to coast. You can stream it. You can watch the video component also. Channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube, and Facebook. Yeah, that's just stupid. And that's the take that he and Eric Adams and these other cats out there are all, oh, he's just so mean. Greg Abbott's so mean. Don't tell Greg Abbott. Go tell Joe Biden. Go tell Joe Biden to stop allowing people to come at the border, and then maybe busloads will stop arriving in your sanctuary state. That's how you do this, because if you think that Texas is going to pay for your welfare grifting backside there in Illinois, Pritzker, you're wrong. Not going to happen. You don't get to grift off of all the Americans that live at the border. You don't get to enjoy a forced welfare off of all those people while preaching a false this false doctrine of sanctuary that you're actually not willing to provide. And what a bait and switch that is, too. Claiming that you're a sanctuary state, but not actually providing sanctuary. Or complaining when you're finally forced to live the values that you espouse and have for years. Just classic. And so that's the very, I mean, that's just ridiculous. And I've seen who all I was looking at, because we've played audio before. Who has it been? Eric Adams. There was a couple of other lawmakers that were complaining about it. It's just so sad. I guess they just don't like illegal immigrants, or as they say, undocumented migrants. I think that's what they state? It's just, you can't expect everyone else to pay for your policies. especially like this. And then, of course, you have the media that's mad because Greg Abbott answered a question. Just going back to this, this NBC piece, I'm looking at this. They're trying to find another way to go at Greg Abbott. And he was on our program Friday. And I had asked him, you know, what is the limit? What's the absolute limit of what you're allowed to do? Like, what's the hierarchy here? You know, and Abbott's like, okay, well, basically Abbott was saying we're doing everything. Because apparently the stooges at NBC don't have listening comprehension. And he added, he says, the only thing we're not doing is we're not shooting people who come across the border because, of course, the Biden administration would charge us with murder, is what he said. So the media immediately went after him and said, oh, my gosh, Greg Abbott wants to shoot migrants at the border. The same people who said that Border Patrol agents, horses reins, were whips are the same people now that are claiming that Abbott was talking about shooting people at the border. And that's been, I mean, they've, a ton of them have been reporting this. That's not what he said at all, actually. It's not his fault that Susana Gamboa is a moron or some of these other people with these bylines are morons and they can't actually deduce what he said from his very obvious answer. His answer is that they're doing everything that they can possibly legally do at the border. And because that's what the question was. The fact is that the left doesn't want a closed border. They want an open border and they want to be able to say that they support open borders, but they don't actually want to have to deal with open borders. They expect people in McAllen, Texas, to pay for it all. They expect all these towns, all these border towns to pay for all of it. I mean, how are you actually for immigration, or how are you really an open borders advocate when you don't want to have to deal with any of it? You don't want to pay for any of it. You don't want to really offer sanctuary. How are you a sanctuary state when you complain if people are sent up to your state for sanctuary? I mean, that's the left kind of encapsulated in one policy example. They are so generous with everybody else's time and everyone else's money. But when they have to spend any of their own resources on it, they're outraged. It's suddenly unfair. It's something that someone else is doing to them. Imagine. They're living out the policies they espouse. And when they actually have to experience the consequence of the policies they espouse, they claim that it is something that someone is doing to them. It's something that a Republican is doing to us. He's sending these people to our state. He's sending these people to our city. No, this is your policy. Did you not know that's what you were advocating for when you ran for governor? When you ran for mayor? Did you not know that these were the policies? This is how this works? They're shocked over it. They're shocked. And then they keep voting for it. No, send it up. I hope he continues sending them up until we actually finally do something about the southern border. Otherwise, you don't get to ask any of that. You don't get to ask for it. It's not our responsibility to pay for you. Remember when the left was trying to say that blue states pay more in tax than red states? And what they were ignoring is that they actually tax people at a higher rate. That's what they didn't tell you about that whole scenario. They're like, oh, yeah, it's the people in red states that don't pay. And they were looking at actually income tax and the state percentages added onto that. And they weren't actually being honest that it's because they tax people more in their states. They weren't being honest with that. But they were trying to use that as an argument to say, look at the blue states constantly taking care of the red states. Well, what is this then? This is that. Red states, particularly border states, have done more to shoulder the burden of illegal immigration than these states that spout sanctuary ever have and cities that spout sanctuary. I mean, that's for sure. Absolutely for sure. So a few other things to hit, because we got the caucusing happening in Iowa that'll take place this evening. And we'll recap all of that and what that means tomorrow. I had to touch on this Fannie Willis thing. I haven't followed a lot of the stuff with Fulton County District Attorney and everything going down there in Fulton County, because it gets so into the weeds. We have pieces that come out about it that Lorraine has on Substack Chapter and Verse, because it really gets into the weeds and you have, and people's eyes kind of glass over. But if you want the deep dives on all that stuff, we have it over at the newsletter. But Fannie Willis was mad because she's being accused of misconduct. The Washington Post and others have written these pieces how she was accused of hiring her lover, and apparently engaged in some impropriety with taxpayer dollars, etc. Right? I mean, there's a lot there. So she went to church on Sunday, and she was saying that the reason that people are criticizing her is because she is black and also the first female district attorney in Fulton County. So she says that it's racist to try to hold her account for acting with impropriety. Okay, so it's not that she didn't do it. It's racist because you noticed. You see how that works? I mean, yes, she completely acted with total impropriety and misconduct, but it's racist that you noticed. That's her argument. I don't understand that. That doesn't make any... And the woman part. How are you preaching equality when you want an exception because you're a woman? You know, there's no exceptions made. Equality is you get judged by the same standards, whether you're a dude or a chick. I mean, what you're arguing and what Third Wave has been arguing is for exemptions. That's not how that happens. It happens all. There was a video that came out. I don't know if you all saw it over the weekend. I saw it, and I think I had retweeted it. But it showed it was at a DeSantis event in Iowa. And this relates to, which we're going to get into some of the latest with foreign policy, just to keep you up to date on it. But there was this, it was an event that he was at. And there was like a protester. Wasn't it like a pro-Hamas protester that jumped out? This is an event in Texas. It was in an event in Texas. And this pro-Hamas protester jumped out at this event in Texas and was absolutely, he was grabbed and walked out. It reminded me of Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. It was amazing. I'm trying to figure because I just lost some of my stuff just closed down. But I think I had retweeted it out there. But I was like, God bless Texas, because it was at Greg Abbott's speech. It was a speech that he was giving, and this happened the same day yesterday. You had a bunch of pro Hamas protesters that tried to breach the fence outside of the White House, and so this was at a campaign event in Collin County, Texas. And this pro-Hamas protester was absolutely pummeled. And he wasn't really pummeled. I mean, he was just walked out. And he jumped up and he was disrupting the event. And there were a lot of people who were there who were tweeting about how he was super disruptive and screaming. And this was just finally the end of it. And they grabbed him. They picked him up by the collar and they marched him right out. They were not messing with it. It was amazing. God bless Texas. Or, you know, try that in a small town. Just saying. But that's not about persuasion. This isn't about persuasion. Have you seen some of the stuff that they've been doing? It's not about persuasion. It's just about destruction of any kind of dissent. That's what it's about. Just up and screaming, running his mouth.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, oh man. So, a Florida man fell asleep at a stop sign and deputies found codeine and Four Loko in his car. Now, isn't Four Loko, isn't that like it's liquor, right?
Yeah, I think so.
What is in Four Loko? I don't know. I don't know anything like that. But anyway, this guy is in Brevard County, Florida. He's facing multiple charges because deputies said they found codeine in a Four Loko and meth residue inside his car. They were patrolling Merritt Island. It was like 1:40 in the morning on Saturday, and they saw this black Nissan sitting just at a stop sign, brakes on, stationary. Deputy walked up to the car. Guy was passed out behind the wheel, right hand on the gear shift, and he had a Four Loko in the cup holder. And then he stumbled out of the car. They asked to perform a field sobriety test. They didn't say what he blew, but he was placed under arrest because he failed it. And then they found clear crystalline substance instead of a glass pipe that totally tested positive for meth. That's not a surprise. So he's charged with possession of a controlled substance without a prescription, all kinds of other stuff, driving under the influence. Why would you risk that? And why Four Loko? Why? It's so... this Florida man was busted for creeping through the backyards with people's backyards with underwear around his neck. But he said he was just exercising. So he told police that he was exercising. And the reason he had underwear around his neck was to stay warm. What? What? Cape Coral said that they arrested Troy Dean Stewart after somebody called 911 about a prowler. And the caller said someone was in their backyard. And they noticed the person on their surveillance cameras. They found him in an empty lot lying on his stomach between a hedge and a brush near a seawall. He was wearing an outfit matching that of the suspected prowler, and he had a pair of underwear around his neck. And he said, I just wanted to run along the canal. And I wore underwear around my face to protect me from the cold. So a neighbor said that he stole some of their bonsai trees and all this. That's like $7,000, like a bonsai trees. Those are very expensive. They said that they discovered him. They discovered the trees at the guy's home. Anyway, they charged him with a whole bunch of stuff. And that's the worst excuse I've ever heard in my life. Oh no, I was just going to go and at night run along the beach with underwear on my face. That's totally not normal. Let's see. A Florida man was arrested for battery because he threw a brick at a guy's face. Well, yeah, that'll do it. A man was hit in the face with a brick Friday night. According to the Tarpon Springs Police Department, the victim told officers that he got hit in the face with a brick. The injuries were consistent with getting hit in the face with a brick, as you could imagine. The victim said that the suspect smashed his car window, left the area before police arrived. So they arrested the suspect. They found 42-year-old Eddie Saunders at home in his bedroom. They arrested him. Oh, and they also found a ton of fentanyl on his persons as well. So he's going to be charged with a number of things. There you go. Let's see. No, I can't read that one. Can't read that one either. No. Mm-mm. A Florida woman was charged because she tried to kick police, like try to actually kick them. You know you can't do that, right? Yeah, 39-year-old Elizabeth Curry, who looks 90, was clearly under the influence of alcohol at Rose's Pub. Law enforcement noted she could not stand, she couldn't walk hardly, had glossy eyes, slurred speech, and totally smelled like liquor. As she was being arrested, she tried to kick officers, but because she struggled to just stand, it wasn't successful. And they found meth on her and meth accoutrements. You know, I guess like whatever you use for the meth. They found all this. She's totally going to jail. So there you go. Yeah, you can't kick police. You can't do that. All right. We have our third hour on the way. Don't miss. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
So if you want to save America from crooked Joe Biden, you must go caucus tomorrow. The first step. We got to do it big. You got to get out. You can't sit home. If you're sick as a dog, you say, darling, I've got to make it. Even if you vote and then pass away, it's worth it.
Wait, vote and didn't pass away or vote and then pass away? Okay, because at first, when I first heard that, earlier today, I was like, wait, did he just say pass away and then vote? Wait a minute, what? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lesh here with you. Iowa is on. I want to just give you a couple of different ways this can go as well and sort of get you set up. I'm not going to predict it because I think it's weird and I'm going to tell you why. First off, welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. Channel 347 is the video component. That's the simulcast on DirecTV. You can also find it on Facebook and YouTube. Okay, so in Iowa, everyone keeps saying that Nikki Haley is like doing, like she's skyrocketed to second place. And I was looking at the polling that stated that, and I don't understand where they're getting that because there are literally only two polls that are really weird in terms of their sampling that put her there. And when you compare that to her enthusiasm level, it doesn't make sense. It makes zero sense. I mean, I'm looking at this like, wait, that's not how that washes out. Because they said, this was a Des Moines Register, only 61% are mildly enthusiastic or even not enthusiastic. Wait, how did she move up to number two if that's her enthusiasm? And there are literally two polls that put her in second place. And it's NBC. There's one from NBC and they did it with the Des Moines Register. And then there's a Suffolk University one. That's it. There's only two surveys. That's it. Everything else has them either DeSantis leading or has them tied.
So I, and then the enthusiasm does not match that of a candidate that's ascending. So there's, that's why a lot of people are questioning sort of some of the unreliable polling, because it seems unreliable. So there's a few things here. Some people are predicting an upset. I don't know. I don't know if there will be one. I think the weather has to do with it. Also, polling hasn't been that reliable because everything's been really split ticket. And when I say that, do people understand what I'm talking about when I say split ticket? So in Texas, you had to be a, you know, you'd be with the Republican Party or Democrat Party, and then you could, you would just get your ballot and you would vote either, you know, one and done, or you'd vote all the way down, you know, all the line through Republicans. When they remove that, you have to go through each and every choice. You can't just do one and done all Republican candidates. And that a lot of places have that, have incorporated it. And so as a result, that's one of the reasons that contributed to what we saw back in 2020. I mean, so this is, I'm looking at this and I just don't see anybody super overperforming. Although that's like the only prediction that I think I might make. And I think some of that may be, it might be fatigue, and I think it might get down to weather. But I do feel like voters are kind of fatigued, even though it's just now the first caucus, and that's because we've started this back at the summer. I told you guys this, that people were going to be super fatigued because we got started so early because Trump announced early. And so people were going to be, I mean, by the time you get around to South Carolina, I feel like people are just going to be frayed. I really do. So in Iowa, electioneering counts, going door-to-door counts, canvassing counts, phone banking counts. And I think of all of the campaigns, DeSantis has had the absolute best ground game, bar none. Now, that does not guarantee a win. It usually contributes to a win, but it doesn't guarantee a win. And the past few election cycles, I think one of the things that we've seen is that the polling's garbage, and that's pretty much it. You can't really, you know, I mean, it can be a whole PSYOP thing. It really can. So DeSantis has staked a lot on a win in Iowa. And I think if he wins in Iowa, obviously it helps him in New Hampshire. If he doesn't, I think it could end up tanking him in New Hampshire. And it could, I mean, it could wrap him up. I mean, there's a lot that depends on it. Normally, it wouldn't be as important as winning just one caucus, I think. But would it not be for the weird nature of this particular caucus? Because it's, like I said, it almost feels like we're wrapping up a primary because it started so early as opposed to just beginning it. So that's, I think, is kind of important. This one of the things I saw, there was a survey that came out, Caleb Howe at Mediaite. Haley supporters are twice as likely to vote Biden than Trump if she loses the primary. That tells you who she's pulling from. This is a very interesting thing. There's a couple of different surveys. This kind of matches some of the enthusiasm elsewhere, but it says that she, it's just weird. Like her people, if she loses the primary, her people are going to have indicated that they're going to kind of float on over to Biden. And that's, again, that comes from, that's a Mediaite poll. Twice as likely to vote Biden than Trump if she loses the primary. And this was an NBC News Des Moines Register survey, and this was released yesterday, late evening. Yeah, they said half of those polled, 43% of her supporters specifically said they'd go for Biden over Trump. So I watched this one really disingenuous pollster who previously worked for another campaign, and they didn't clarify that when they had them on Fox, but they were saying that, Haley's cemented the never Trump vote. I don't necessarily think that's never Trump. And I think that word has been weaponized by campaign operatives to the point where it's stupid. Not everybody has the same choice in the primary. That doesn't make you never someone. That's so stupid. And I would not describe people who are Democrat voting for Biden as never Trump. I'd describe them as Democrats. If you're voting for Biden, you're voting for, you're just a Democrat. But I think that shows you where she's pulling from. Because she is the most establishment-y of the candidates. Although I would say
it's a close tie for, I mean, there's, you know, but she's pulling from such a moderate position that she's getting Democrats in. That's just a very interesting survey to me. The other thing, too, with this, a lot of people are expecting, they think Trump is going to, like, just, yeah, I heard Brian Priebus say, oh, he could have, like, a record win. I think that he's actually going to underperform. I don't think it's going to, I would be shocked if it's a blowout, because I don't see how you turn that around three different election cycles of surveys and then get something completely opposite for the fourth, especially with fatigue and a low enthusiasm across the board because it's been going on for so long. I just don't see it. And I don't know how much the brutal winter storm is going to impact it, but I don't see that as being helpful for that claim. Now, let's see. And looking at this, the Des Moines, like I said, the Des Moines Register, the enthusiasm for Haley, I mean, is not non-existent. That it's just weird to me. There's the, I mean, Trump could take Iowa, but then have a smaller margin, and that could, you could have another candidate present that as a win, depending on the difference in how far apart they are. I mean, for instance, if you have Trump that goes first and then he is only plus 18 over DeSantis, that is like a major thing, because that was advertised as, oh, he's plus 50 over DeSantis this whole time. And that might be a lot more difficult for that, for the Trump campaign to make the argument that that was a clear and decisive victory when it was, you know, more than half of what they were expecting. But I mean, then again, who knows? The other reason why it's a little difficult to predict this stuff is because you're looking at hardcore Republican voters and not, like, you know, people who just go out in a regular general. That's why I tell you it's so stupid to look at the national polls, because the national polling isn't just looking at the most hardcore people. The most hardcore people are the ones who are the ones who turn up for primaries, and particularly with participating in caucuses. Those are, like, in radio, we call those your P1s. Those are like your most dedicated listeners. These are the most dedicated, you know, people of your candidate. And so it's really difficult to measure that enthusiasm and compare it to what you see nationally, because it's a whole different breed of voter and they're pulling from a whole different sample of people. It's like comparing apples and oranges. So that's when people say, oh, well, nationally, so-and-so, that's so dumb, because at this point it's nothing more than a popularity contest, and it changes so dramatically at the national level and has every election cycle. That's why I also have always said this is always a delegate race, and it's about winning the delegates in Iowa and then after New Hampshire and South Carolina. So these are the most hardcore Republican voters that come out. And so it's a little bit different, more different to predict. And it's also trickier because we've had the split ticket voting, and because even with split ticket voting, you have still had a lot of hardcore Republican voters in the last several elections that have done split ticket voting. That's why you've got John Cornyn that ended up with more votes in Texas than Donald Trump. That's because of split ticket voting. It's not because of fraud. And that's because there were a lot of voters that weren't sold. And it's wild to me that that's how it ended up, but that's how it ended up. And again, the RNC has no solution for that. So that makes it's hard to predict, because politics have changed. It's gotten very tribal. And because it's gotten so tribal, no one wants to be honest with how they answer. And I want to caution people with this, too. Just because someone has a different choice than you do in the primary doesn't mean they're your enemy. And if you think they're your enemy, you're not America first. You're not country first. You're personality first. And you were the exact type of person that makes this whole thing absolute hell and makes it to where people don't want to participate in the system. People like you should be publicly ridiculed and shunned. I can't stand it. Everybody has a choice in the primary. People get together and they go to war with what they got in the general, but in the primary, people have different choices. And I can't stand watching other people try to shame other people for exercising their free choice of selection in a primary process in our electoral system, in a republic that people have fought to die and protect. They've died at fighting to protect it. So I can't stand it. It's monarchist, it's anti-American, and it's annoying. Make the case. But if you think that you're going to persuade someone to see your side by browbeating them or doing this whole, you're not this or that because you're not from my guy in the primary, you're not the nobody elected you bouncer for any movement. So stop. That's why people don't want to be honestly answer questions. And that's another reason, getting to my point, as to why surveys are so unpredictable and why you can't rely on the polling. Because no one wants to give an honest answer. Do you think that they want their name to be associated with an answer if they think they're going to get bullied for it? No. So it's a problem that people have literally created for themselves. It makes no sense to me. So that's just saying. Now, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it could be where it's a blowout. It could be where there's an upset. It could be where it's a, you know, maybe a more modest upset. Who knows? But I will say, if it's a blowout for any one candidate, that does affect. Like if it's a blowout for Trump, that could, and you don't have DeSantis in second place, that could mean, I don't know how DeSantis goes forward to New Hampshire. And Nikki Haley won't last past South Carolina. Because people are not excited about her campaign at all whatsoever. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Because one thing that I will say that Iowa voters are very attuned to is they want to see the candidate in front of them. They want the candidate to make their case. And they like people who go out and talk to folks. They like good ground games. And that's one of the things that DeSantis' campaign has been really good at. So we'll see whether or not that pays off tonight. All of this kicks off at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. And we'll have a recap of all that for you tomorrow.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Washington State spent over $700,000 on giant rocks to deter homeless encampments. They spent $700,000 over that on boulders to deter homeless camps in certain areas. They literally put up big giant rocks. $718,000.
Instead of fix the homeless problem.
Yeah.
That's where they spent the money.
$718,000 taxpayer dollars on giant rocks that they put in areas where people congregate and camp. So basically, you got something to lay your tent next to. And see what I'm saying? How does that deter? That's so stupid. This is so dumb. Why are people so dumb? I don't get this. Let's see. Ooh, boy. Picasso, Rembrandt, and other paintings damaged in a devastating fire at a Seattle art gallery, KIRO, Channel 7. It said that there was this art gallery in Pioneer Square caught fire last Friday morning, damaged thousands of pieces. And the gallery contains about 18,000 works of art that they've collected over 50 years. And there's a Picasso in there. And the Rembrandt, there's a Rembrandt. 90% of it's on paper, they said, so it's very difficult to understand what survived and what didn't. They're still trying to assess. Oh, my gosh. But they know it's damaged. They know that much. Oof. I'm not doing this one. I do not have in 60 seconds the time to set this up. So apparently two large things of cicadas are going to emerge across the southern and Midwest states this summer. I love the way cicadas sound, but I don't like to hear them because they are creepy, terrifying little things that look like they're going to infest your brain and explode your head. They're grossest bugs that ever existed, but I love the sound. So all across the southern and Midwestern portions of the U.S., they're going to have the periodical cicadas coming out from the underground. There's one big group, Brood XIX. And then there's another brood, I don't know. There's different broods. I didn't even know this. And one comes out every 17 years. The largest one comes out every 13 years. And they're both going to come out the exact same time this year. So gross. Okay. Fun. It's going to be really loud. I don't know. We got a lot more in store. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Donald Trump is focused on his issues, yeah. And that's what he talks about. I'm focused on your issues. I'm focused on your family's issues. It's not about me. It's about the future of the country. I delivered on 100% of my promises. You know, Donald Trump did not build the wall, did not drain the swamp. I've also taken on the left and the Democrats and beaten them on these big issues. Trump, Pelosi, and Schumer beat him on the budget and on all these issues. And so I'm going to be able to get in, win, get the job done. I'm the only veteran running for president. Yeah. And that means I'm mission first. I'm going to focus on you, not going to focus on me.
So that is Governor Ron DeSantis. It was an interview from this morning, I think, in Iowa. All the candidates are making their cases.
Iowans go to caucus this evening. Welcome back to the program, bottom of this third hour. And of course, we'll recap all what that means tomorrow, what the results mean, because everything gets underway this evening. It shouldn't be this. I mean, it's always kind of crazy and tribal in the primary, but it's weird, though, to see how crazy and tribal it's gotten in the primary to where it has pushed any discussion about policy out of the room. And everyone's afraid of offending people, even on the right. Everybody's afraid. I mean, you should be able to, and I say this knowing full well that 2024 is the last ramp off the highway to tyranny. It really is. This is the last exit on the highway because we're slated to lose the House already. There's a great chance we're going to lose the House. And the Senate, I don't know. If you're going to gamble on personality for the White House, that will also affect all down ticket races. That goes into it. I mean, you got to look at it. People are going to do what they're going to do in the primary, but I think we got to be realistic. A friend of mine made this point as well. And I think this is why some people look, I say this as somebody, I voted for Trump twice. I have my difference of choice in the primary for a couple of specific reasons, because whenever I'm presented with a more limited government conservative choice, I'm going to go with that. You know, whenever I see, you know, the proposal to actually a plan to tax remittances and actually get money from countries that are sending us people across the border illegally, I like that idea. I mean, it could have been done in the previous 4 years, especially when you had a Republican Congress, and it wasn't. I like the idea of due process and not having guns seized. I mean, I like the idea of not having a national registry with universal background checks. That's something the previous president absolutely endorsed. I mean, I retweeted it just today. It was something that, and they wanted to raise the firearm sales age 21, wanted to end all bump stocks, ban bump stocks, wanted universal background checks. That's a gun registry, the whole nine yards. So whenever I have a choice of a Republican that isn't for that, then I am all for going with having a more limited government, more liberty minded choice for that. I also look at it too. I don't know what people are going to do. Like, say, if you have Trump as the nominee, at some point with all the cases that are going on, and yes, I think the Georgia case gets in the weeds. The New York case is nuts. I think the New York case is stupid, and it's a witch hunt. The NatSec.doc case in Mar-a-Lago actually, I think, is the only one that has some weight to it. And we'll see what comes of that. But at some point, you know, there's probably going to be a conviction somewhere at some point. And I would say if there is one, I was talking to a friend of mine who actually worked with Trump's legal team in Nevada with some of the recall, with some of the counting, vote counting stuff, was saying that that's a case because that is an actual statute that could actually develop into something. That being said, though, you have to think of the resources, and a friend of mine brought this up, that are going to be spent just to bail out a White House race for that during all of that. These are all resources that will absolutely be drained from any House or Senate effort. So there then becomes a chance of not just losing the White House, but losing the Senate and the House in a spectacular fashion. And when I say in a spectacular fashion, I mean you could get to where you couldn't even get a filibuster going in the House. So that's what we're looking at. And I understand people like who they like. And I think for some people, this is about branding. But for me, I look at this as I have one priority, and that priority is what gets me the most limited government victories and advances the agenda of limited government. And I don't see it with any of the choices in the primary right now, except for one. And that's why I make the decision that I make. Now, people are going to vote whom they vote for. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. That's something that you've got to do. You got to come to that conclusion. But I do think it's going to be made hard, if not impossible, to retain a majority in the House. And I think it's going to deplete resources in a lot of very competitive races in the Senate, because a lot of money is going to have to be used to bail out the White House race. Because
he's I think that Trump's not going to be able to raise money for himself because he's going to be involved in all the legal stuff. And some people say, well, they owe it to him because that's great. And I understand that sentiment. And I don't judge anybody for it, but I don't think that that's what this is about. I mean, I like a lot of other people too. But if I thought that, and I'm speaking very clinically, if I thought it was going to be a liability on promoting a limited government agenda, I'm not going to go for it because I want a limited government agenda. And that has to come first. That's, I mean, I want to put the country first. And that's how I look at it. And it's not, you know, nothing mean to any of these cats, but that's just the way it is. There are some politicians whose record I really like, but personality wise, I can't stand them. I'm not going to say who, but because I like their record, I want them to keep voting the way they do, but I just cannot stand their personality. There's some in the House and some in the Senate that are like that. But it's about the country first. And that's just how I look at it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm super nervous about the House. I wanted to share this Newsweek story with you because this was one I thought was a decent write-up. And it looked at a couple of different surveys. It gets into the tough, I mean, Republicans are poised to lose control in 2024. That is a real thing. There have been surveys done before. A lot of the races are really competitive. And you have to think, too, going back to 2016, part of when you're building a big tent is you have to work really, really hard to maintain those ties. And that has kind of run counterclockwise to what has been happening in the Republican Party. The GOP has gotten more tribal. The left has too. But my point is that you can't maintain a big tent when you're getting super tribal about candidates. And that's the crazy thing. They're not even getting tribal about issues. It's like tribalism about personalities. And I don't understand that. Like, I totally get it. If you're like, I want, you either abolish the ATF or I'm never going to vote for you. I mean, at least I get that, right? Or you better abolish the Fed or I'm never going to vote for you. I get that. That's an issue. But people who are like, oh, I like this guy. And no matter what the guy has done, that's what I don't get. Like over a dude, a tribalism. I don't think any politician can be perfect. I just think some are a little bit better than others. So I'm just saying, keep your wits about you going into this. I'm not going to tell people who to vote for. I'll tell you who I told you who I support in the primary just because I believe in transparency. And that's made a lot of people mad because it exposes their grift, which is funny. And I got people that try to browbeat me into stuff all the time. If I told you all the pressure that I get from different people, from consultants to people on cable news, to all kinds of folks who have tried to pressure me to go this way or that way, and it just makes me want to dig in more. I've never, it is tribalism but be tribal about issues. We used to have wedge issue voters. What happened to that? When did that go away? You remember the wedge issue? Yeah. That was the issue. That was the hill I'm going to die on. Right. Hasn't that gone away? You don't hear anybody talking about that anymore, do you?
True.
When's the last time you heard wedge issue, Kane? When is the last...
The term wedge issue, I haven't heard. What I have seen, though, is them creating wedge issues way sooner than they used to. And us getting into this election process way sooner than we used to. That's what I've seen. Hmm. But you're right. Wedge issue as a term, I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah, and even focusing on all those issues. Those used to be like make or break issues. The only thing that they've gotten close with it is abortion. I was watching a thing on cable news, and they had this collection of voters that were undecided. And I mean undecided as they didn't know who they wanted to vote for, a Republican or Democrat. And I was just like, what? At this point, I get it. I understand it more if you're undecided about the Republican side of things. I totally do not understand you if you are undecided about Biden or a Republican. I just don't get it. You're like a Martian to me. I don't understand that. And they had this one chick who said that she was a Republican, but she was undecided. But she really liked what Nikki Haley was saying because woman, she talks about being a woman. And this, all the only thing that this chick could say was woman. And then she brought up abortion. And I'm like, you're the type of person that makes me wish, that almost makes me, I mean, wish that you had never gotten the right to vote. Because when I hear you talk, I mean, I listen to her and I'm like, this is, you are...
You are literally manifesting the definition of bimbo right now. Like, what in the world? Because she's a woman. She talks about being a strong woman and female stuff and, you know, an abortion and all that. Like, that's all that there is. Like, you, and you wonder why female voters get stereotyped because of that kind of stuff. But there are people out there who think that, and Democrats have tried to seize on that and make that. So the abortion thing is the only, is the closest they've come to, like, pushing wedge issues. I don't know. It's, but we'll see. We'll see what happens, because we got a lot of stuff kicking off. You got the Houthis that are firing off rockets at naval, our U.S. naval ships. And then, of course, you have yet another terror attack in Israel. And you see Hezbollah now trying to amp up, and Hamas releasing hostage videos. We're in very, very perilous times, and we have to have like a full command of everything at our disposal. And that means not losing the House and not losing the Senate. And I think that, you know, running for office cannot be a vanity project. It really can't. I really like what Thomas Massey had. He tweeted out this thread that I thought was fantastic. He said he was fighting the swamp for over a decade. He goes, and I can tell you it's tough. He goes, I'd give anything to have more help, which used to make me vulnerable to falling for fake Liberty candidates. He goes, I've backed a few who've won and then sold out, but they talk a great game. He goes, after being burnt, I developed a litmus test for candidates running for offices above dog catcher. He asks, before you decided you were such a great candidate for office, did it ever occur to you to back the other Liberty candidates for office? Did you volunteer your labor or money? Long before you knew you were going to run for office, he adds, did you ever do anything like write a letter to the editor about an issue or sign your name to it? Did you join or form a group to fight for an issue? And if you were elected to an office before, what does your record demonstrate? Did you do what you said you would do, even when it could cost you your political office? Were you smart about how you went about it? Did you spend your time in that office wisely? He goes, perhaps you know why I'm compelled to write this thread. You know, and he mentions, he goes, Vivek talks a great game, but he doesn't pass my test. He should get in the trenches and fight with us before he asks to be the general. He goes, insert, how do you do, fellow meme here? He goes, I agree with Ron DeSantis at least 85% of the time. He goes, on those 85% of the issues, I can take his word to the bank. And he says, you know, his wife is with him 100% of the time. He goes, there are many liberty issues, but none have presented a clearer test of elected leaders than COVID did. And he says, Trump failed the test miserably. Vivek was AWOL or worse. And he said that DeSantis called him when everyone else was losing their minds and hating him. And he said, leadership is taking an unpopular position because you know it's right and using your power to empower people instead of forcing outcomes on them. I completely agree with what Thomas Massey has said. It was well said. We have more to come as we wrap up this third hour. And of course, I'll be in the newsletter as well, Substack, Chapter and Verse. You're going to want to sign up for that as we move our partners for this portion of our program, our friends over at Super Beats, all day energy and stamina. Two chews a day is all it takes. And they taste like chewy little Starburst. And when paired with a healthy lifestyle, the antioxidants in Super Beats are clinically shown to be nearly two times more effective at promoting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. They're effective and clinically studied. Super Beats is the number one doctor, pharmacist, and cardiologist recommended heart chew for cardiovascular health support. It's blood pressure support that you can trust. And they're plant-based, easy to add to your routine, no pills to swallow, no ingredients to mix or prepare. It's heart-healthy energy without the crash. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews. Get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Heart Chews and a free full-size bag of the turmeric chews valued at $25 by going to danalovesbeats.com. Get this exclusive offer only at danalovesbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
And as these extreme weather events continue to remind us that this is suicidal, what we're doing, you know, it's crazy to keep going like this. And we've had so many multi-billion dollar events that, yeah. And it's the developing countries that are hurt the most. Right.
So Al Gore's like, wow, this extreme cold weather is really extreme, and something about global warming, me and Bear Pig. It's winter, you absolute pervert stooge. It's winter.
Imagine how cold it would be if it wasn't for global warming.
Golly, I want some global warming. You know what? I mean, it's 21 degrees right now in Texas. Give me the redacted global warming. That little brat, that 20-year-old brat from Scandinavia was telling me, oh, this is global warming. Where is it? Where's the global warming? I am freezing to death. I should not have to be this freezing. This is unfair, and it is not right. Tisn't right, tisn't proper, tisn't fit. And I, no, where's my global warming? This guy. Who knows? Because it's so cold out. It's extreme cold. Yeah, you get it. You know, didn't they say that there was like solar activity and we were going to like feel what it did coming up like in January? I think I had as a headline, but you know, whatever. Somebody's got the grift of global warming to push. I want to go out and throw some styrofoam around and like burn some tires or something. Maybe that'll warm it up a little bit. We need a volcano to go off to like hasten the global warming. Yeah, well, I mean, isn't there that one in Iceland that just went off?
Yeah.
And there's like lava everywhere and people are, oh, yeah, because it's a big giant volcano. I will say when we were in Italy, we went to Pompeii. I was a little nervous. Is that weird? I mean, you got people living their whole lives there and they're totally fine with it. And I'm like, it's still active. And they're like, yeah. Like, it's still an active volcano. I mean, I get that there are signs in that, but still, you know, like, what if? I don't know, just... anyway, all right, so we will we're gonna recap Iowa tomorrow because the caucusing starts this evening and I think it's like 7 Central, and we're gonna watch all the numbers come in and we're gonna break down those results and what that means for you going forward. We'll have all of that. You do not want to miss tomorrow's show. That's one of the things we do best, better. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it is our Vice President, Kamala Harris. It is, it Kamala? Kamala, it's Kamala, right?
I think we can say, I can identify with whatever I want. So I'll just...
She's trying to connect with Gen Z. Listen to what she says here. Listen to this.
I see our college students up there. And see, let me just tell you, I love Gen Z. I don't know if something, you know, I love Gen Z. So, okay, for the older adults. This is going to be a humbling thing I'm about to share with you. If someone is 18 years old today, they were born in 2005.
All right. I did the math. It's not exactly correct.
It's not at all correct.
But why is that a thing? Why is she going in front of people and saying stuff?
She can't even campaign. I mean, it could be that. Things could be worse, guys. We could have her.